Good evening, folks. Y'all stuck with me again. Hi, David. Good to see you. If you're visiting with us, we're especially appreciative that you're with us this evening. We're going to be looking at the third epistle of John, John 3. Third epistle of John. And we're going to be spending a little time, what time we have, we're going to be talking about three individuals that this chapter focuses on. One of them is Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. If you'll bear with me, I'm going to read through the chapter. It's only 14 verses. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, do you faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well, because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Of course, the author here is John. John would probably be a very old man at this time. John was one of the chosen 12. In Matthew chapter 4, it shows where James and John, brothers and son of Zebedee, were called. And they left their fishing nets that they were mending, and they went and followed Jesus. What else do we know about John at this particular point in time? Okay. One that Jesus loved. What else? At this writing, probably the only one still living. Probably the only one that was left. Now he would have been an old man. If this book was written, most people, scholars, or whatever, say probably in the neighborhood of AD 90, around 90. So that would have made him pretty old. That would have made him pretty old. And so he's writing this book, and he's writing it at a time. Remember, the church was established a long time ago, right? A lot of things have happened since then. It's like when the church was established and the church was growing and people were on fire for the Lord and they looked forward to the Lord coming back. But what had happened over the next 50, 60 years or so? Persecuted. Roman Empire, the Roman government, they were persecuted. They were scattered abroad. They were scattered everywhere. And they had become, many of them, disillusioned. And if you go back to even second epistle of John, where he had written a letter to a lady, it talked about how there had been a lot of false teachers that had come up, had risen among them, and were out preaching what? That Jesus didn't, you know, Jesus never lived an earthly life. You know, and think about it, most of them were not around at that time. And so now they're out spreading this false doctrine. And so now we get over into the third epistle of John, and he starts it off by saying, the elder. The elder. Why do you suppose he said the elder? Why do you think he began that with the words, the elder? Pardon? He's old. He's old. He's referring to himself as an elder person, an elderly person. Any other ideas? I came across one. Chris. Okay. Chris said maybe he's a shepherd.
Standing above the authority, stating that he has some authority.
which he does have authority. He does have authority. But there's one other thought, and I don't know, you know, we have no way of knowing about the accuracy of it, is that, you know, that perhaps he was writing this letter from being in exile. Some say, Isle of Patmos, maybe it was where he was exiled to. And so in writing this letter, with all this persecution going on, instead of saying, this is John, or whatever, could he just kind of be not mentioning his name for fear of that fear of that persecution coming back to him? He wouldn't be able to complete what he started. I don't know that we have the answer other than Greeley said, he's old. Well, that's certainly true. He was old. And so with that, and he's writing it to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. And he said, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. What's he saying to Gaius? Is he saying, praying for you to live?
He's saying, Gaius has a spiritual life which is well and he's strong spiritually. Whether it means that he's not in good physical health or not, he just said, I'm praying that you can be as well in your whole life as you are in your soul.
Sometimes we might hear the term, be well and prosper. Be well and prosper. Be your spiritual life, if I'm wanting your physical life, to come up to par with the spiritual life. That's my prayer for you. It is. It says, I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. So he's not just writing a feel-good letter here. He's got someone that people have come to him, you know, and said, hey, this guy Gaius over here, he's quite a guy. You know, he's very complimentary of Gaius. And he said, I rejoiced when they came and testified. So I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The term my children is one that is pretty common with John when addressing Christians, right? Which again, I think, is indicative of the fact that he's saying, you know, these are my children. I treat them as my children. You know? John, I believe, is one of those apostles that as he aged, that you can almost see the love for fellow Christians flowing out of by what he says and the way that he reacts to people. When he calls his beloved Gaius, when he says, my children walk in truth, Whatever you do for my brethren and for strangers. One of the big things, and we're going to get to it here in just a minute, is, you know, listen, what you do for your brothers and for strangers. What's he actually talking about here? And the whole, you could make a whole lesson on one word here. You make a whole lesson on one word here from this book. Hospitality. That's the word. Hospitality. You know, hospitality is what he's trying to say here. Many years ago, I'll tell you a little story. Many years ago, when Debbie and I were much younger, and we were traveling, and it was a Sunday morning, and this is even before I think we had the girls or anything. Anyway, we stopped on a Sunday morning in town and went to church. And we walked into the church, and we walked in. Not one person said a word. Not one person spoke to us as we come in. Not one person spoke to us. I don't think we smelled bad or looked too bad or anything like that. We might have, I don't know. But we sat through that worship service, and we left. And you know, to this very day, it still comes up in our conversation about how that time that we worship at this place, that's all we remember about that day. That's all we remember. It could have been the best sermon ever presented. The singing could have been the best, you know. But all we remembered is how unhospitable that congregation was to us, and I'm assuming to others. You know, the only person that kind of acknowledged us was an older lady who I think we may had her pew or something, you know. But, you know, so here you got John, he's saying, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. You know, one of the issues here going on is, and you're going to talk a little bit about it here with Diotrephes here in a minute, you know, is this is a time when there was men that traveled about and preached. You know, I can even remember when I was a kid, we had a lot of different preachers that would come one Sunday and go somewhere else Sunday and whatever. But they had a lot of people that were traveling, missionaries, so to speak. They were out working. And he's saying, you know, you treat everyone faithfully. And whatever you do for your brothers, you do the same for strangers in terms of acknowledging them. Who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. So, what are they saying? These guys gave up their life, they gave up their sources of income, they went out. They're preaching and they're teaching and they're trying to evangelize. He's saying to them, what? You guys, we need to be responsible for them, to help them out, to make sure that they're taken care of as they go about. He said, we don't take anything from the Gentiles, which simply means what? We don't. You know, we don't go out and ask the government, and we don't go out and ask this group and this group to help take care of these people. We take care of them ourselves. Are we doing a very good job of taking care of them? Are we treating them right? You know, are we welcoming these men when they come? Because, you know, as you find here in a minute, they got a problem, don't they? We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. And now in verse 9, yes.
One thing I noticed in this one here is John reusing some form of the word truth over and over again, like 6 or 8 times already. And it's like Gaius sold prostitute meant that the truth was in him, that he walked in the truth, and then that he dealt truly with these people who were preaching the faith that he had helped. So a big part of this, I take it that some people were suggesting that it wasn't walking in the truth to accept or to receive these preachers who came through and tried to help them.
And perhaps maybe they were able to try to justify that in their own way of thinking, some of them, because there's so many false teachers out there. So many of them are going out here and they're spreading the, you know, they're teaching falsely. So best thing for us to do is just back away from it. Let's just get away from it and then, you know. But John says, you know, I love you in the truth. Okay. Bill said suspicion is a big enemy of hospitality. And then John goes on to say, I wrote to the church. Do we know where, which one specifically? No. We don't know where this was located. But John says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among us, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. All right. Four problems identified here in just a couple of verses, isn't there? Four problems with Diotrephes. Right. What's the first one? You got it. He puts himself first in every situation. Who was Diotrephes? We don't know. I've heard Diotrephes possibly identified as different people, right? We just know that he was a powerful figure in that particular congregation, but we don't really know. I've heard him say, well, you know, maybe he was a preacher. Maybe he was a preacher and he had an iron grip on that congregation. I heard him say, well, perhaps maybe he was an elder who refused. Or I've heard him say he was a church treasurer. I've heard people say, sounds like he was in charge of all the money, you know, so therefore he took his job so serious that he, you know, whatever. Yes, Greeley. An ecclesiastical bulldozer, okay. Interpret that for us, Greeley. He run right over you. And that's the way it was going to be. And he was in charge. And so he had a me first attitude. Yes.
Notice the contrast between Gaius in verse 6, where it says they testified to your love before the church, his love and caring for strangers.
Okay.
On the other hand, the Diotrephes loves to have the preeminence.
Yeah.
One loves to help people, to welcome people, and one loves to have the preeminence.
Yeah. Having the preeminence, that means he probably welcomed everybody there, had the opening prayer, led singing, took care of the communion, preached the lesson, and said amen at the end. Don't you guess? It's what what would have given him probably the greatest thrill. I don't know. But anyway, a second problem is that John says he slandered them. He slanders those that are trying to do right. You know? If I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. So he just wasn't a quiet, behind-the-scenes type person, was he? Doesn't sound like it to me. He was malicious in his attacks, you know, in his confrontation. He went straight forward, and somehow he was able to get away with this, at least the time being, right? Somehow he was able to get away with it. We don't know exactly why or how he was able to do it, but, you know, he was turning people away. He didn't want people to come. He showed no act of hospitality whatsoever to people, to strangers. He refused to welcome brethren who came, these missionaries. Didn't want them there. Can you imagine us not wanting someone to be here? I mean, even maybe if we disagreed with them, would we not want them to come here to where maybe we could work with them and talk with them and perhaps teach them? You know, you always got to be careful, and, you know, and things and how you approach things like that. But if you don't show hospitality and love to people, hospitality is just love in action, isn't it? Isn't that what basically that means? Love in action. You know, if you say you love us, show us you love us. And so, but he didn't want anything to do with it. Yes.
There's one part of irony in it too. At the end of verse 9, where it says the altar piece does not accept us.
Yeah.
Some of the versions translate that don't accept what we say. So it's like in trying to protect against falsehood, the altar piece does not listen to the truth, which is weird. He's talking to people.
Okay.
He doesn't listen to us, like what John was saying.
Yeah. The fourth problem that existed with the Diotrephes is he not only refused to welcome people, but what did he do to those that tried to? Pardon? Stop them. In fact, he said those that wished to, put them out of the church also. Just, you know, you're not going to be here either. You don't need to be here. If you think that that's okay, if you think that guy ought to be, we can welcome that guy into our worship, you need to get out too. Now, at the very least, this guy was pretty bold, wasn't he? He was pretty brazen in his approach. So he had a pretty secure feeling about himself, didn't he? I wish we knew more. What did I say? Okay. Very
insecure.
Okay. Either was extremely secure that he had the upper hand, or he was so insecure that he felt like that he had a lot to lose. Everybody's a threat. Even these people so he was fine to just, I guess, maintain the status quo and just keep it the way it was. John was trying to write a letter to these people, and, you know, didn't even receive it. Didn't even receive the letter. Beloved, do not imitate. Do y'all say beloved or beloved? Gene. Okay. Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So, goes along here and he says, you know, don't imitate what is bad, what's wrong in this world. There's lots of things that are bad. There's lots of things that we struggle with. Don't be like that. You know, don't copy that type of example.
We have a song based on that right there.
What is it?
We have a song. He who does not love me is not of God or something. I can't remember the name of the song.
He who
does not love me. It's got a song that verse right there.
The greatest command. I would sing it, but I better not tonight.
I was back here for the first.
But, yeah, but, you know, he was good as of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Yeah.
One part, I think, of what verse 11 is getting at is it can happen that in wrestling with the proper responses to truth and falsehood, it can happen that we start thinking of the truth as just a proposition of whether we accept, whether we hold the right propositional stances, and then that it doesn't matter whether we deal truly with people in terms of treating them right as persons. Treatment of kindness and the thoughtfulness of hospitality and the love of God. And part of what John is getting at in verse 11 is the truth has a side to it, which is whether it's true or false. The truth also has a side to it, which is whether it's good or evil. And along with being right,
good. Here's John, well up in years, and he's dealing with this particular issue, with this particular person. And John, the only remaining, or at least we think that he's the only remaining apostle left, he's well up in years. He is obviously very respected and revered by fellow Christians, and he refers to all of the Christians as his children and as his beloved, and yet he's dealing with this particular situation where this one person is out here really speaking out harshly against him and against what, you know, and John's saying, I can't even get through to the guy. He won't even accept the letter to him, you know. And here's John up in years, has to be, and he's trying to figure out, you know, I'm sure in his own mind, all these years have gone by. I wish some of these people could have been there. Don't you imagine? I wish they could have been there. I wish they could have been there when Jesus called me, and when he called me and my brother into service for him. I wish they could. I wish these people could be here, and we wouldn't be having some of these issues. Time passes, relapses in their faith, relapses in how they view things, even as simply as strangers, as missionaries, even to the point of trying to take care of them, you know, trying to provide funds so that they can continue their work, and trying to balance that and make people understand that it's good. It's good, it's from God. If it's bad, it's not of God. And so, you know, and then he goes on here in the last two or three verses, and he goes to Demetrius. Says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. We also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. I have many things to write, but I do not wish to write you with pen and ink. Who's Demetrius? Do we really?
It might be one of the people who is traveling and preaching the truth.
Okay.
Who should be received.
That's kind of a general thing, is that he's possibly a very good man. One of these guys that's out, that's giving up every lot of things up. He's out trying to preach the truth. And he's saying, you know, he has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And we bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. And so he's kind of saying, you know, we got men out here like Demetrius. We got men out here like Demetrius, and we're not even giving them a chance in some places.
Demetrius might be one of the people that Theocrates has either refused to help or put out of
right,
the church.
Right. Very well could be. Bill said that Demetrius could be one of the people that Theocrates refused to work with, to help. Or maybe someone that said, let's welcome these guys, and he put him out of the church too. You know, we know that we don't know exactly who he is. We don't really know who Gaius is, as far as there's Gaius was a pretty common name, I think, at that time. But, you know, if you try to put the whole thing together, it says, I have so many things to write to you, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard that expression before? Yes. And, you know, so did John and when he wrote, you know, Second Epistle of John, when he wrote to the elect lady, having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, and joy may be full. Here's an older man. We don't worry that. He's faced persecution, possibly in exile at the current time, but he's wanting to go see these people. You know, he's still, his mission is not finished. His work is not completed at this point. But it is, yeah. But he's saying, I got so many things to talk to y'all about here in your church. I've got so many things to say. Yes, some of it may be unpleasant. You know, if I go talk to Diotrephes, you know, it's probably not going to be a pleasant conversation, but it's a necessary conversation, you know. And John's going to be doing all of this work out of what? Love. Out of love. Yes. Okay. Okay. Greeley said that John's being proactive. He sees a problem, and he wants to address the problem. He may have challenges getting there himself. That's what he would like to do, right? But he's going to face it. He's going to try to deal with it. Not because of him being right and Diotrephes being wrong, but because of what it's doing to the church because of Diotrephes. Any other comments? I would hope that if we get nothing else out of the lesson from John 3, if we get nothing else out of it, it would be the importance of being hospitable one to another.
I think even the conclusion of this letter has a reason.
Okay.
Where John said, the friends greet you, greet the friends by name. Ideally, the church should be an association of special friends in faith. And that is a point that Theocrates had been missing. Theocrates was not treating the church life. Preaching the truth would create friendship. Believing the truth would create friendship. Walking in the truth would create friendship. Diotrephes was not treating anybody like a friend. And I think it's interesting that John chooses to close this letter with the act, all the way through, the act has been on truth, and now at the end it's on friendship. So truth, goodness, and friendship are three marks of the faith that the congregation wants to follow.
Do you think that Gaius, do you think he received this letter? Do you think that it was...
Thank God, he's got the mail first.
Yeah, was it intercepted? I don't know, you know. I don't know how... When you get someone to the point where they're such as Diotrephes is, how do you effectively deal with that one particular person and do so in a loving spirit and with a sense of kindness, even though in all likelihood you're going to be rejected, right? Diotrephes, it doesn't appear here that he's willing to listen to anybody.
Well, it's a confrontational situation that I can talk about. And the other thing he ends the letter with is, a lot of times we need to be good God.
The Lord's church, in organization, in the way that it's organized, we have elders. We don't have a head elder. We don't have a elder in training. An elder is an elder, And I go to quite a few congregations or have in the past where they don't have the opportunity to have elders, because of numbers and different things like that. And it's a big challenge. It's a big challenge to get things done and to be able to work together. John and I might not necessarily agree on every thing that comes up or that we talk about, but we're going to work it out, and we're going to try to do what is right. We're going to try to do what is right, and that's the important thing, is do what's right and what's best for the body, for the congregation, and not get too far off the main, off to the left or whatever, wherever direction you're headed. But this guy apparently didn't have any leadership. You could say, well, this lesson's about leadership too. About leadership. Was Diotrephes a leader? He was trying to lead. He was a boss. That's a good word. He was a boss. Should have tremendous credibility, right? But that's why I mentioned earlier how hard that must have been. Here's John, he was there. And now he's dealing with somebody here who doesn't even grasp the concept of being a good Christian and of walking in the light and walking. He doesn't get it. And John was there. He lived a life. He was persecuted, possibly in exile at this time. Not many years left in his life. Only one of the apostles. The only one left. And then he's having to, you know, this guy's prating against us with malicious words. What could he possibly be saying against John? I don't know. Other than, this John's a false teacher. That seemed to be the thing that they would like to kind of focus in on and hone in on. Well, he's a false teacher. You know, he don't need to come here. We don't need to accept his letters or whatever. We're doing okay on our own. We're doing fine. You know? So. Yep. Yeah, and that kind of alludes to what Bill said. Maybe he was so insecure, that he didn't want to deal with John, did he? He didn't want to deal with John. John was going to call him out. John was going to try to talk truth to him. And so it was easier just to say, nah, we're not going to deal with that. Not going to address that. Any other comments? Kenneth, you got your land legs back under you yet from all that running? Hey. Thank y'all for being here. Appreciate all of you, and look forward to the rest of the week and then Sunday, and it's gonna be a good week. Good rest of the week. Anyone else that we need to mention that I'm going to lead us in prayer here in just a second? Anyone else that maybe we didn't talk about or didn't get a chance to? Yeah.
Larry and Sharon Osborne's daughter, Tina, is about to go next to MD Anderson. These are Miss Tina.
Okay. Dennis is doing a little better, you know. Talked to him by phone today, and he seems like he's getting better. He says he is a little bit every day. I don't know anything else. She's at home now. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to have class tonight and to study and to learn from John. Father, we are so appreciative of everything that, all the joy that we have in our lives. Father, we help us to deal with any adversity and any health issues and any shortcomings that we may have. Father, we pray that you'll be with Larry and Sharon Osborne's daughter, Tina, as she goes in for some testing, and also be with Ola Jean Feeney. We're thankful that she's improved. We're also thankful that Dennis seems to be encouraged with his health here recently. We ask that you be with us all. Bless us, and we ask that we find people to be good examples to and to find a way to encourage them. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.